These are your prayers this morning. Certainly thankful that we have someone like that to go to tell him everything. Tell him everything. And with him, it doesn't matter. He's not just expecting for us to tell him all the good. He wants to hear the bad, too. He's interested in everything we have need of. Have a burden this morning, and I'll write the title on the board. I have written on the board, it's a portion of scripture that we'll read here in a moment. It's enlarge the place of thy tent. And you consider what that means. That can mean a lot. And with the Lord's help, I want to dig into part of that. There's so much more that we can go into, but I want to read those scriptures real quick. It's in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, and we'll start with verse 2. This is where this phrase is at. Isaiah 54 and 2, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. So we have here some scriptures that the prophet Isaiah wrote. And a lot of this is foretelling, prophesying of the church. The Jews that would be converted and the Gentiles that would be converted. But the enlargement of the church, that there is to be some expansion. And truly, as history proves, this happened, and it's continued to expand throughout time. But more specifically, think of in a literal sense. There's, in fact, another translation that says it this way. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. And you think of this in a literal sense. There comes a time, sometimes in families, where you have to add on. You have to expand your house. There's not room and just maybe for 5 or 6 individuals in a small little, 800 square foot home or something. You have to add on, expand. There's a need there. And there's other cases of that too. But the point is, there's growth, expansion, maturity. And I know, again, in a literal sense, we look at our children, especially those that have little children. There's a desire to see them grow up as mature adults. Those that can contribute to society and to your family and to your lineage and to pass something down. You want to pass something on to them and want them to pass something on to your grandchildren and so on and so forth. You know, it was the same with the Jews and with the children of Israel. God was not content for them just to cross over the Jordan and conquer Jericho and say, okay, that's enough. Oh no, that was just the beginning, you see. The first city they conquered, there were many more cities he desired for them to conquer. And it was to provide more room and territory for his people. They were going to grow. You see, God had a plan for them to grow, to expand, and not grow stagnant and shrivel up and eventually disappear. Okay? Well, so it is with our literal families. We want them to grow too. You know, as children grow up, teenagers, adults, and they have their own children and to grow, to multiply. And so it happened with the Israelites and the Jews. In fact, there were times, and of course, during the Roman Empire and where after Jesus had established the church, there were concerns with the rulers and the leaders saying, these Jews, that something's happening here. That there's something contagious. They're catching on to this belief of Jesus, the Messiah. And it's multiplying. That their church is growing. And in comes Saul to persecute the church. Like, well, let's try to put a stop to it. Oh, dear ones, you realize what happened there? There was someone involved, albeit God, through His Son and through the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, where they caused something that looked like was going to be failure and destruction, and that this thing was going to shrivel up and be destroyed. The exact opposite happened. It was enlarged, you see, that they enlarged the place by tent. The tent, their habitation was expanded. In fact, they were persecuted, but yet that was a plan of God. Not that they would be harmed, but that they would go through throughout the whole earth and preach the gospel. Not just stay in Jerusalem and stay in Israel. Oh no. God wanted this spread throughout the whole world, you see. And that was going to be the enlargement of their habitation. And it more than just the literal habitation, but the habitation spiritually speaking as well. Well, again, I believe the prophet Isaiah, his main burden here, being for the church collectively. But my burden this morning is, I believe God's desire and his burden for us is that we expand individually first. That we allow the Lord to expand our own personal horizons. And I'm not talking about going out there and becoming extremely wealthy, which God can use that. But that's not the focus. God may use that as a tool to work in His church. But that we focus on God expanding our spiritual insight, our spiritual understanding. That He would expand our hearts that we can take in what God wants us to do. And to be able to go out and exercise that. And to move out for the Lord. Expand where we're at. Get us out of our comfort zone, so to speak. But it takes place individually first, you see. And then it can happen collectively as a church. I have a little demonstration here. Rubber bands. And I know as children, no doubt, they love playing with rubber bands, and maybe some adults do too. But rubber bands can be used for a lot of things. But notice, if I set this rubber band right here on the edge, what use is that if it's just laying there? Oh, that looks cool. You can maybe put it in different shapes. Okay, yeah, but that's about it. It won't even stand up hardly. It's just of no use, really. But this rubber band can be used for something. There is potential. Many uses for rubber bands. I remember in one of my exploratory tech classes, we made these little self-propelled vehicles. And everyone had to design their own and build their own. And one of the most prominent ways, we were given a certain amount of utensils. But along with these utensils was given some rubber bands. Well, we figured out how to use those. You can have a little propeller, and you can have a rubber band hooked to one end and stationary at the other end, and you can rotate this propeller and wind it up till it's really tight. And then you can let loose of it, and that little propeller will propel, through the use of this rubber band, propel that little vehicle across the room. And it works. And there's other uses. Take, for instance, I have a few things here in the drawer. It's pretty crude here. But if you look at this, I got a few things sitting up here. And that's all well and good. But you know, sometimes you need things so that they don't get scattered and maybe broken or damaged. Like, oh, I want to use a rubber band. And how useful it is. There we go. Joint together. It's stable. Not going to get damaged, broken. A useful thing for a rubber band. Hold things together. Then there's another use. You think of a rubber band, I mentioned earlier, being twisted and used to propel a little vehicle. But there's another use. And perhaps this is where children get a lot of excitement with this and play games with it. A rubber band, when stretched, you can actually propel itself, such as like that. And you think about these uses of rubber bands, very simple demonstration here, but it's of no use if it's not stretched. You know, the same thing applies to you and I. We're really of no use unless we allow God to stretch us, expand us a little bit, okay? And just like these rubber bands, you know, if you play around with the rubber bands enough, you'll realize that they do have a limit. And only the one that's using the rubber band can really tell what that limit is. I could bust this if I really wanted to. But you can tell you reach, yeah, that's about as far as this one will go. And other rubber bands, maybe you can stretch way out, maybe several feet, big rubber bands. You know, God knows how far He can stretch us. He knows when we're going to break. He knows the limits. He knoweth our frame, that He knows what we can handle, you see. But He also knows how He can use us. Just like we with rubber bands, there's all kinds of uses for it. But there's another thing. Think of a balloon. A balloon in itself, again, is just like a rubber band. Lay a balloon there, it's of really no use. But if you stretch that balloon a little bit, and then you start to exert some air into it, force some air in it, it'll expand. And you can use those balloons for all kinds of things. Of course, you can decorate with them. Again, you can use them to propel something. Again, on another little vehicle, you can blow up a balloon and then let it go, and it'll actually propel a vehicle. Take, for instance, helium balloons. You can fill them up with helium, and they'll rise, and they can carry a load. Also, in rescue or in work, you can use special type of rubberized balloon, industrial strength. They can use them for, say, a car accident. They can use these type of expandable balloons to go in there and pump it up with air, and it'll spread and separate pieces of metal or lift a vehicle. Things that can happen very quickly. You don't have to have a lot of other utensils. All kinds of uses for balloons. But again, it's of no use if it's not expanded, you see. If it's not stretched. Well, you think about these things. Think about the little rubber band holding these items together. You know, God can use us in relationships to hold relationships together, to help keep us close, to bind us one to another. And not only that, it can also be used. We can comfort one another, encourage one another. And you think of a rubber band as well, when I flipped the one over there. You know, there are times where God perhaps wants to propel us out of our comfort zone. It's easy just to lay around and say, oh, this, I'm comfortable right here. And God's saying, no, I want to use you somewhere else. Maybe I'm done with you here. I'm going to propel you over here and use you for something over there. Maybe to help bind up and comfort and encourage someone, or to stretch you and hold something else together. And then I'm going to propel you somewhere else. But always available for use in the Master's hand, because He knows where to place us. Our Sunday school lesson, adult Sunday school, was related to this, about the church. How God puts the members in place and knows how to work and use and orchestrate the whole beautiful picture of God's church working together as a unified body. Then you think of the balloons. You know, again, a balloon can be used to help support something, to cushion it. You also think of all the semi-trucks and the air ride. Some of you drive big trucks, you know what I'm talking about. You get the air ride suspension in there, and it's quite a cushion. And it's a much more enjoyable ride than something that has no air ride in it. And you're just bouncing along the road. You know, God can use us, if He could say, as an absorber, all right? Something to where we're, again, pliable in God's hand. He can place us in the right place to absorb something, maybe a blow or something that might destroy someone else. But yet God can inspire, say, oh, you need to slip right in there and offer to help, to encourage, to comfort. Again, a balloon, something to raise something up, to lift something up. Maybe God wants us to encourage, to help lift the burden of someone else. And it may be as simple as supporting someone in our private prayers. It could be as simple as that. It was mentioned this morning in adult Sunday school about prayer warriors. You don't see or hear about them much. They're just busy praying wherever they're at. You know, it's just like in the big semi-trucks, the air ride suspension, you don't see them, but you feel the effects of them. And it makes a much smoother ride, oh, dear ones, I believe he would desire more prayer warriors. It make for a much smoother ride, so to speak. Take out some of the little bumps along the way. God would have us to be active and useful in His hands. And you think of, again, the balloons. When they're stretched, the capacity is enlarged. Okay? And you think of, too, water balloons. Perhaps some of the children have played with water balloons. And you start out, they look pretty small. You get them out of the package, you're like, what can you do with that? But oh yeah, you can fill it up with something more than just air. You can fill it up with water. But again, it's expanding and the volume increases there. And yes, it's stretched. But you know, the same goes with you and I. That God would love to fill us with something refreshing. To fill us with something that can quench the thirst of some other thirsty soul out there. And then we can be a blessing to someone else. But we're going to have to empty out of ourselves, you see, to allow room for that blessing, for that Spirit of God to come within us, that He can use us then in those capacities. Now I want to read some scriptures in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And we'll come back to these scriptures in Isaiah. But in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, there's some scriptures. We'll start with verse 16. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love, notice these next three verses, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now you think about this. These 4 points that was mentioned here in verse 18. What is the breadth and the height, or the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? It's 4 dimensions here. And you think about the love of Christ and the love of God that's out there, that's here for all of us, for all mankind. And it's hard to comprehend what all He's done. He did His best when He sent His only begotten Son. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved us that He shared. He gave something special to us. But then there's the capacity of those, especially those, the unbelievers, the Gentiles, they weren't able to comprehend God's love until Jesus came. And then even then, some of them were so hard-hearted and hard-headed that they couldn't comprehend it. And it took then the stretching of some of His disciples and apostles, Peter, James, and John, and later Apostle Paul. And it took God expanding and stretching them, that they were able, that the Gentiles and even some of the Jews, they finally started believing that this thing actually works. Because I'm seeing God transform these other individuals. And now I'm feeling their love, it's God's love, the things that they are doing for me and for others, you see. And how Apostle Paul, he was converted, transformed there. So you could say, oh, he was in his own mind thinking he was doing a great work. But no, all he was doing, if you could say, was destroying things. He wasn't building things. He wasn't lifting things up. But yet, God had a plan. Got a hold of Apostle Saul, changed to Apostle Paul, and then God started to stretch him. And yes, it involved being imprisoned. It involved stonings, beatings, being forsaken by his friends. Some of his friends just turned their back on him saying, whatever, you go on your way. Forsaken. All these things. And yet God was stretching him to a greater capacity. And here he is writing about it. And he's saying to understand, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. Consider the word breadth. That could mean to the extent of all nations and races across the whole earth. Not just for one little people. Not just for the Jews. Oh no. This is for everyone. The whole world. Whosoever will. Okay? Opened up this beautiful salvation to pour out His love upon all nations. And even ranks. Doesn't matter. Rich, poor, in between. It doesn't matter where you're placed in life. But to comprehend that God loves everyone. Okay? And then you think of the length. That could mean continuing from everlasting to everlasting. That His love is so full of mercy and compassion. His loving kindnesses and trying to draw people to Him. And even though they fail and they reject Him time and time again, He's still reaching out with love, with open arms, saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the length from everlasting to everlasting of His love. And then considering the depth. Oh, the depth. That we all, as the Scripture says, have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. Where God has reached down in His love and mercy and lifted us up, as the song says, out of the deep miry clay. And set us up on a rock. Set us up on the straight and narrow. Where we were so lost and undone. And we were so covered with sin and despair and discouragement and depression and despondency and just thinking, there's no hope for me. And the Lord's looking down saying, yes, child, there is. My love reaches down to the depths of any sin that could be committed. And I can deliver you, child, if you allow me to lift you up, you see, and expand our horizons. And then you consider the height. To lift us up out of the deep miry clay and to give us the victory and the glory and the happiness and the joy in the Lord. That, oh Lord, thank you for doing this. And to give us inspiration to continue on and to offer words of encouragement to be that supporting force for someone else. Expanding our horizons. Expanding our capacity. To be able to comprehend. You see, and that comes through experience. God working with us, moving us, stretching us, propelling us, doing all those things. Because He has a plan. Now I want to offer a few more things here. I want to go back to the Scriptures here in Isaiah. And note what it says here. Back in Isaiah 54. It says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not." I want to focus on that just for a little bit. Spare not. Again, another translation says, spare no expense. In other words, give all that you need to give. Just put it all in. Don't hold back. I want to tell you, dear ones, there are times when in our natural flesh, the natural man, We shrink back. It's like, oh no. You can say this rubber band here. It's like, oh no, Lord. No, that hurts to be stretched. It might cause a little crack somewhere. It might move me somewhere I don't want to go. It's going to hurt. And God's saying, child, just put it into my hands. But it says, spare not. You know what that could mean? That could mean simply, okay, Lord, I'm not holding anything back. Here you go. I'm all in, Lord. What do you want to do with me? Maybe I have 5 rubber bands, so you understand what I'm saying. I'm giving all to you, Lord. Maybe I have different shapes and sizes of balloons, different thoughts and dreams and ambitions, Lord. I'm going to give them all to you. That you can stretch and expand and fill them how you want to fill them. All in, Lord. Spare not. Spare no expense. Yes, it may hurt. It may cost me something. Because I had another idea. I had another dream. But God changed them. Once we put them into His hands. And then He's saying, I know best what to do with this child. So spare not. And then, there's the other side of this. In verse 4, it says, fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded. You don't know what? the devil's going to come along and he's going to cause some fear to come upon us. He's going to challenge us and say, oh no, do you know what God did with so and so? When they truly gave the Lord the rights to their life, the keys to their heart, and then the privilege of expanding and stretching them and sending them wherever. Do you realize what they did with sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and what happened with them? Oh, the devil's going to do that. Or maybe the fear of failure. Oh, do you remember so-and-so where they were doing all these things for God and now look where they're at. They're way out in sin. They left the Lord. They've been offended and they're hurt and full of bitterness. And is that God's fault? Was that God's hand working in that? Oh no. It's because they took back the right and the privilege of God working in their lives, of God stretching and expanding them. Maybe you could put it this way. They broke themselves. God didn't do it. They resisted, started pulling back. You know, just like with rubber bands. Just imagine here for a moment, if I had someone else grab the other end of this rubber band and we start stretching, who's going to give? You realize one can go and just intentionally break it so it'll hurt the other person. You know, it can be just like we can get in a tug of war with God. But no, God's saying, child, let me have both ends of this. Let me do the stretching. We're one person, one being, and it's God doing the work. Now, that's trying to take another part. Say, oh, no, what, this way? And God's saying, no, I'm going to do it this way for a reason. I'm going to put you around this. And that's where you're going to stay for now. And later I may use you for something else. What a beautiful picture. That God the Father, He's the one that established this church through His Son, Jesus Christ. He knows how to fit us all together. He knows how to get us all to heaven and for us to work one with another. In a beautiful way that we are all helping one another in the end. Well, again, this fear. Oh no, God may require such and such of me and I can't do that. Scripture says, yeah, you can't on your own. With man it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see? You put it into God's hands and just see what He can do. But thinking of this word fear, there's another scripture in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. I want to pick up here. Isaiah 41 and 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. He's not saying here, no, I'm going to break and shred you to pieces to where there's nothing left. You're totally unrecognizable and totally useless. Oh, no. No, that's not the point. In other words, I'm going to strengthen you and enable you to be stretched, yes, but not beyond your limits, but to be stretched where you're actually useful, you see. He says, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Where we can feel like sometimes God is using us as a balloon to help and support the whole weight of the world. That's not true. God does not require that of us. The scripture says the government shall be on His shoulder, not ours, because we can't handle it. It will crush us. It will destroy us. We weren't made for that. But He was. And He's saying, no, you're not the one that has to support and do all the work here. And feel like, oh, poor me, I'm the only one supporting all this. And I'm underneath here and no one sees it. God's saying, no, I'm going to support you. That's all you need to worry about. I'm not going to put on you more than you can bear. Because it will crush us, folks. But He said, fear thou not. You know, that wasn't just a casual statement. That has some meaning behind it. That is a commandment, actually. Fear not. In other words, don't let the devil overcome you here. Don't let the devil just pour in all these seeds of doubt and confusion and all these other unnecessary things that would distract us. He said, no. Let me do this. Let me stretch you. Let me support you. Let me strengthen you. Let me do that, the Lord is saying. Because we can't on our own, folks. We'll mess it up every single time. We'll think we're doing something, all of a sudden we give out just like that. It's because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Allow the Lord to be the one with the driving force behind us. If you could say the Holy Spirit filling us with His Spirit. You could say with a balloon. It's that compressed air, you see, that's forcing in there. You know, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If we allow that opening to get larger and our capacity to enlarge, then we start comprehending. We start understanding what He's desiring to do for us and all mankind. And those in our little sphere of influence. That's what you're trying to do, you see. So it's that maturity, it's that growth, it's that expanding. Not just to stay in that one tiny little tent over here that I'm content with that. You know, you can almost become prideful of that. Saying, yep, I've been the same way for years and it feels good. Okay, do you realize what can happen? You start shrinking, actually. You start deteriorating. But God would have us to enlarge. You know what that means? He's going to supply the materials. He's going to supply the needs, the strength, the everything to expand. All right? To expand our tent. He's going to say, well, you don't have enough there. What are you going to... Lord, I don't. I need something. Okay. I'm going to give you another piece of material to enlarge your tent on this side. Okay? Let me give you some more grace and strength to expand over here. And then when that's taken care of, we're going to expand on this side. And then maybe over this way, you see. It's not like you go from a little tiny, 2 foot square tent that just kind of covers your head. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you know, with the snap of the fingers, it's like, oh, I have a 200,000 square foot tent here or housing. What am I going to do with this? No. You see, God has a way of enlarging us little by little, here, there, here a little, and there a little. Expanding our understanding that the scripture, I don't have it pulled up here. But God has a plan that we continue to grow and to expand and to learn. And we have a greater capacity for God's love to be within us. And then it gets to where it spills over on the others, you see. And it fills us up to what, Lord, it's overflowing. And God's saying, that's great. You can share it with others. And it continues stretching us. Oh, dear ones, this plan of salvation is a beautiful thing. And God's church working together in unison is a beautiful thing. This is not something where I can dictate what God is trying to do in your life. And say, well, you need to expand, you need to do this, and you need to do that. You know what? Because if I'm the one, or if you're the one, if man in general, if they're the ones calling the shots, you know what's going to happen? It's going to stretch, and it breaks. Yeah, that hurt. But I want to tell you what, folks. There is something about it. And we see so many broken and destroyed lives out there. And it's because man has forced their way, saying, no, that's mine. You can't have it, Lord. And God's saying, I can do something like, nope. Or with someone else. They try to force someone else, saying, no, you need to do this. And it'll break. Something will be destroyed. There's no use comes from that. Yeah, some hurt. My fingers are red. It's pain. Now what can I do with that? It's broken. Well, there's a little tiny piece right there. Can't do anything with that. But folks, God has a beautiful plan. He is the Father. He is the Creator. He is the Enabler. He is the one with all the source of power. I want to go back to the scripture. Back in Ephesians. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Because here's what happens. The devil would love for us to live in this little box, this little tiny tent, and think there is no way that I or someone else can do this. Or there's no way that God can do that. to get us in this little tiny box and feel so restricted. But notice what the scripture says in Ephesians, the third chapter. And to know, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And notice verse 20. Now unto him, that's not plural. That's not saying unto all, it's saying unto him. Only one person can do this. That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, if you have been allowing God to expand you individually and to put more of His love and His Holy Spirit within us, then that's when He's saying, okay, now you're enabled to go to the next level, to the next step. No, you're not jumping 20 steps ahead. You're just going to the next level. Not going to stretch you beyond what you can handle right now. But now you're ready then for level 2, then level 3, then level 4. And it's saying, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, according to how much we have allowed God to infill us with His Spirit and His power. Isn't this a beautiful thing? To think that no one else can do this. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me, and you can't do it for each other. It's saying, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all the... In other words, it's more than you can imagine, more than you can ask or think. We're not talking about just this mindset of what's out there in the world. Just think positively and think big, and that's where you're going to be someday. Well, that may work in some things, but no, it goes beyond that. It's what you can imagine saying, oh Lord, I desire to be more useful in your hands. Lord, I desire to have a greater victory in these areas over here that have been a stumbling block to me for years. And the devil's filled me with fear because I'm insecure in these areas. And Lord, I can envision, I just know that you can help me to overcome those things. And God's saying, yes, I can, child. Now allow me to stretch you to enlarge your capacity to where you can get to that point, you see. Only God can do that. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it for each other. Now I want to read this scripture again in closing. Back in Isaiah 54. In verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. To me, that's a beautiful picture. How many of us have seen pictures of cities, literal cities? There's some right now today. For example, Detroit is one. Detroit, Michigan. And there's other cities that once were booming and just amazing, very expanding and growing and very successful and had a lot of money saved up, and it was just, all businesses were flocking there, and it was amazing. But then now to see some photos of some of these cities, they're desolate. There's nothing there. Have you ever seen some photos of maybe a place that, a city that or a town that has been destroyed by a natural disaster, whether it be a fire or a hurricane or a tornado? And you look out across and you're like, wow, it's destroyed. It's a mess. What can ever come of this? But oh dear ones, you know what? I've seen some of those very same cities. Take for example, Joplin. Destroyed with that tornado. Half the city wiped out. Right in the middle. You know what? You go back years later, you go back up and you see where it was built back bigger and stronger than it was before. More people flocking in, more businesses building, expanding, the housing additions, everything. It's just like, wow, how did this happen? Something that looked so desolate. I remember standing on the little hillside there on 20th Street and looking out across the horizon. I could see the hospital across the horizon, where before you couldn't, but all the trees and the buildings are out of the way. Standing there looking at the destruction and thinking, how in the world can anything come of this? You know what? Years later, you go back and stand on that same hill and you look out across. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And to think that God can do the same thing with a person's life. God can do the same thing with the family. God can do the same thing in an individual that it looked like there is no hope. And he's saying, no, God has a vision. God has a plan. And you know what? In building back a city like that, you know what? There's a lot of folks that had to stretch. There's a lot of giving that had to take place there. They spared not. They're like, oh no, we want this to happen. I'm going to give. I'm going to work. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to get down to business here and we're going to do something. And they worked together beautifully. And now look what has taken place. Now businesses are saying, oh, now we want to go there. We want to build there. Look what that city can do. You know, that's the same with the church. Where at one time, there's lives among our members. You look 20, 30 years ago, and their lives were ravaged by sin. But then God came on the scene and made something beautiful, one by one, transforming their lives, building something beautiful that once was desolate and inhabited and wrecked with sin. And then you see what God did with that and built something beautiful, individually and collectively. And then folks look on that and say, that is beautiful. That's why it's called the city, Mount Zion, that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. It is beautiful, not just to those of us that are in this city, but it's to those that are out there looking and saying, wow. And it gives them hope. And saying, oh, I want that too. And God's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. Yes, there will be some difficulties. There will be some trials. There will be some stretching. But in the end, there's a transformation that takes place. From something ugly that's a wasteland to something beautiful and attractive. And that's working like a well-oiled machine. Only God and His Holy Spirit, when we are infilled with His Spirit, and He's allowed to work and move in us and expand and change us as He desires, that's when something beautiful can happen. May the Lord help us all to enlarge the place of our tents. You pray for me.